Welcome back to Opiniate. This is part one of a 10-part series on the history of India-Pakistan conflict. In this episode called Partition and Early Years, 1947-1950s, we'll look at how and why British India was split into two countries, India and Pakistan. We'll talk about the important people involved, the huge number of people who had to move from one country to another, and the problems they faced. We'll also look at how India and Pakistan started their relationship as two separate countries. This series is here to help you understand the deep and complex history between these two nations, starting from the very beginning. Let's dive into the story of their early days. Historical context leading to the partition. The historical context leading to the partition of India into two separate nations, India and Pakistan, is rooted in a complex blend of political, social, and economic factors. This period is marked by colonial rule, rising nationalism, and communal tensions. Let's break it down for better understanding. The British East India Company began establishing control over parts of India in the 18th century, gradually expanding their influence and establishing British colonial rule. This period was marked by economic exploitation, cultural changes, and administrative reforms. Over time, resentment against British rule grew among various Indian communities, leading to the rise of a national liberation movement. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, the Indian National Congress was founded to seek greater Indian participation in governance. Initially, it was not religiously divided. However, over time, as nationalism grew, so did the recognition of religious identities among Indians, primarily between Hindus and Muslims. The Muslim League was established in 1906 to address Muslim concerns, advocating for special protections and rights. The idea of separate nations for Hindus and Muslims gained prominence in the 1940s, led by Muhammad Ali Jinnah and the Muslim League. Jinnah argued that Muslims and Hindus were distinct nations, with their own customs, religion, and traditions, deserving separate territories. This concept became known as the two-nation theory. The participation of British-ruled India in World War II without the consent of Indian leaders intensified the demand for independence. Post-war Britain was weakened economically and politically, making it difficult to maintain control over its vast empire, including India. In an attempt to secure Indian support for the British war effort, Sir Stafford Cripps proposed a plan in 1942 offering Indian dominion status post-war, but it was rejected by Indian leaders. Later, the 1946 cabinet mission from Britain proposed a federated but united India, which was initially accepted but ultimately failed due to disagreements over power distribution and the structure of the future government. In 1946, the Muslim League called for a direct action day to demand a separate Muslim homeland, leading to severe communal riots in Calcutta, now Kolkata, and other parts of India. This violence underscored the deep-seated communal tensions and the challenges of creating a unified nation. Lord Louis Mountbatten, the last viceroy of British India, was charged with overseeing the transition of British India to independence. With communal violence escalating and negotiations failing, Mountbatten advanced the date for the transfer of power. He also agreed to the partition of India into two separate states, predominantly Hindu India and predominantly Muslim Pakistan. The announcement of the partition plan led to massive population movements, with Hindus and Sikhs migrating to India and Muslims to Pakistan. This migration was marked by horrific violence, loss of life, and a humanitarian crisis. The partition of India was not just the result of immediate political events, but was also rooted in historical divisions and the long-term impacts of colonial rule. It was a culmination of years of communal tensions, political negotiations, and the desire for self-rule, set against the backdrop of declining British colonial power and the aftermath of World War II. The legacy of partition continues to affect the political, social, and cultural landscapes of India and Pakistan today. Role of key figures, Nehru, Jinnah, Mountbatten. The roles of key figures such as Jawaharlal Nehru, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, and Lord Louis Mountbatten were pivotal in the events leading up to the partition of India and the creation of Pakistan. Each of these individuals brought their own perspectives, ambitions, and ideologies to the forefront of this historical juncture, influencing the course and nature of the partition. Jawaharlal Nehru was a central figure in the Indian independence movement and the first Prime Minister of independent India. A prominent leader of the Indian National Congress, Nehru was deeply influenced by the ideals of democracy, secularism, and socialism. He envisioned an independent India where all religions, cultures, and communities could coexist harmoniously. Nehru's approach to the independence movement was marked by his firm belief in a unified India. He opposed the idea of partition on religious lines, advocating for a single nation where Hindus and Muslims could live together. However, despite his efforts and ideals, Nehru faced criticism from various quarters, including factions within the Muslim community who felt underrepresented or sidelined in the predominantly Hindu Congress. Contrasting Nehru's vision was Muhammad Ali Jinnah, the leader of the All India Muslim League and the founding father of Pakistan. Initially, Jinnah advocated for Hindu-Muslim unity and worked within the Congress. However, over time, he became disillusioned with what he perceived as the Congress's inability to protect Muslim interests. By the 1940s, Jinnah had become a staunch advocate for the creation of a separate nation for Muslims. He argued that Muslims and Hindus were distinct nations with incompatible cultural and religious practices. The concept of two-nation theory became the foundation of his demand for a separate Muslim state, Pakistan. Jinnah's unwavering stance and effective leadership mobilized significant Muslim support for the partition. The last viceroy of British India, Lord Louis Mountbatten, was tasked with overseeing the transition of British India to independence. Mountbatten was a British Royal Navy officer and statesman, appointed with the goal of facilitating a peaceful and orderly transfer of power. However, he inherited a complex web of communal tensions and conflicting political demands. Mountbatten initially sought to preserve a united India, but faced with the intransigent positions of Nehru and Jinnah and escalating communal violence, he concluded that partition was the only viable solution to prevent a larger civil war. Under his leadership, the timetable for British withdrawal was significantly advanced, leading to hurried and poorly planned partition arrangements. Mountbatten's decision to expedite the timeline is often criticized for contributing to the chaos and violence that accompanied the partition. However, he played a crucial role in the actual mechanics of the division, including the controversial Radcliffe Line, which demarcated the boundaries between India and Pakistan. The roles of Nehru, Jinnah, and Mountbatten were deeply interwoven with the political, social, and communal dynamics of the time. Their decisions, influenced by their ideologies and circumstances, shaped the course of the subcontinent's history. Nehru's idealism, Jinnah's steadfastness, and Mountbatten's pragmatism under pressure all played critical parts in the unfolding of the partition, leaving legacies that continue to affect India and Pakistan to this day. Their leadership during this tumultuous period demonstrates the complex interplay of individual agency and historical forces, mass migrations and humanitarian crises. The mass migrations following the partition of India in 1947 represent one of the largest movements of people in human history, accompanied by profound humanitarian crises. This period of history is marked by widespread suffering, communal violence, and unprecedented displacement. When British India was divided into the independent nations of India and Pakistan, it triggered a massive demographic shift. It is estimated that between 10 to 15 million people crossed borders, with Hindus and Sikhs moving predominantly to India, and Muslims moving to West Pakistan, now Pakistan, and East Pakistan, now Bangladesh. The exact numbers remain debated, but the scale is universally acknowledged to be immense. The migrations were not peaceful. They were accompanied by horrific communal violence between Hindus, Sikhs, and Muslims. The tensions that had been simmering during the final years of British rule erupted into brutal riots, massacres, and acts of violence across the subcontinent, particularly in the Punjab and Bengal regions, which were split between the two new nations. Estimates of the death toll vary widely, from several hundred thousand to 2 million. The violence was characterized by atrocities on all sides, including mass killings, sexual violence, and the destruction of property. The migrations led to significant humanitarian crises. Millions of refugees found themselves homeless and destitute, having fled with only the possessions they could carry. Both India and Pakistan were ill-prepared to handle the influx of refugees. Shelter, food, and medical care were inadequate, leading to further death and suffering from starvation, disease, and exposure. Displacement camps, some housing tens of thousands of refugees, were set up, but they struggled to meet the needs of the massive numbers of displaced people. The monsoon season exacerbated the already dire conditions in these camps. Additionally, there were countless stories of families being divided, children orphaned, and women being abducted and forced into marriages or subjected to other forms of violence. The governments of India and Pakistan were overwhelmed by the scale of the crisis. While both governments attempted to facilitate the safe passage of refugees and provide relief, their efforts were often hampered by the sheer scale of the problem, inadequate resources, and ongoing political and military tensions. The United Nations and other international agencies also stepped in to provide aid, but the needs far outstripped the available assistance. The mass migrations and the associated humanitarian crises had long-lasting impacts on the social, economic, and political fabric of both India and Pakistan. They sowed seeds of mutual hostility and suspicion that continue to affect relations between the two countries. The traumatic events of partition have left deep scars on the collective memory of both nations, influencing their domestic policies and attitudes towards each other to this day. The mass migrations following the partition of India were a monumental event marked by extreme human suffering. The scale of displacement and the severity of the accompanying humanitarian crises were unprecedented. The memories and consequences of this period continue to resonate in the Indian subcontinent, shaping its history and its present. Integration of princely states and the issue of Hyderabad, Junagadh, and Kashmir. The integration of princely states and the issues surrounding Hyderabad, Junagadh, and Kashmir were significant challenges in the post-partition period. At the time of British India's partition into India and Pakistan in 1947, there were over 560 princely states that were not directly part of British India, but were instead ruled by local monarchs under the suzerainty of the British Crown. The princely states covered about 40% of the area of pre-independent India and constituted about 23% of its population. The rulers of these states had the option to accede to either India or Pakistan, guided largely by geographical contiguity and the religious composition of their populations. Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel, India's first Home Minister and Deputy Prime Minister, played a crucial role in the diplomatic and sometimes coercive integration of these princely states into the Indian Union. Instrument of Accession was the legal document created and implemented for this purpose. Through a combination of persuasion, negotiation, and when necessary, force, Patel and his team were able to integrate these diverse entities into the Indian Union, thereby preventing the balkanization of the newly independent country. Hyderabad was the largest of the princely states and was strategically located in the heart of the Indian peninsula. Its ruler, Nizam Osman Ali Khan, wished to remain independent or accede to Pakistan, despite the state being landlocked by Indian territory and having a majority Hindu population. The situation escalated into armed conflict between the Nizam's forces and Indian troops, known as Operation Polo, or the Police Action. In September 1948, the Indian Army intervened, and within a week, Hyderabad was integrated into India. This action was justified by the Indian government as necessary to maintain law and order and prevent communal violence. Junagadh presented a peculiar case. Its ruler, Nawab Mahabat Khanji III, decided to accede to Pakistan even though the state was surrounded entirely by Indian territory and had a predominantly Hindu population. The decision led to public unrest and the fleeing of the Nawab to Pakistan. India responded by moving military forces into the princely state and then holding a plebiscite, in which more than 99% of the population voted for integration into India. The princely state of Jammu and Kashmir, ruled by Maharaja Hari Singh, was the most significant and controversial case. It had a majority Muslim population but a Hindu ruler. Maharaja Hari Singh initially wanted to remain independent. However, following an invasion by tribal militias from Pakistan in October 1947, he sought military assistance from India. India agreed to help, but only after the Maharaja signed the Instrument of Accession, acceding to India. The conflict led to the first Indo-Pakistani War and the eventual involvement of the United Nations. The UN brokered a ceasefire in 1949, leading to a division of the region, but the status of Kashmir remains disputed to this day, with parts controlled by India, Pakistan, and a small portion by China. The integration of the princely states and the resolution of the issues in Hyderabad, Junagadh, and Kashmir were crucial in shaping the political landscape of post-independence India and Pakistan, while the integration efforts led to the consolidation of the Indian Union and prevented fragmentation. The legacy of these events, particularly the conflict over Kashmir, continues to influence Indo-Pakistani relations and regional stability. Socioeconomic conditions in the newly formed nations. After the partition in 1947, both India and Pakistan faced significant socioeconomic challenges. These challenges were the result of decades of colonial rule, the immediate aftermath of partition, and the massive demographic shifts that followed. Here, we'll delve into the socioeconomic conditions of these newly formed nations during the early years post-partition. At independence, India inherited an economy that was primarily agrarian, with a large portion of the population dependent on agriculture for their livelihood. However, the agricultural sector was underdeveloped and plagued by inefficiencies. Additionally, the industrial base was limited, largely oriented towards textile manufacturing, and with significant underemployment. The partition had disrupted trade routes, leading to short-term economic dislocation and inflation. The social fabric of India was deeply affected by partition. There were millions of refugees from Pakistan, leading to strained resources and social tensions in border states, especially Punjab and West Bengal.
These refugees needed housing, employment, and social integration.
Healthcare and education systems were underdeveloped and now had to serve an increased population. The caste system and deeply entrenched social hierarchies further complicated social mobility and integration. The Indian government, led by Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru, embarked on a path of planned economic development. The focus was on building a mixed economy, improving agricultural productivity, and establishing heavy industries. The first five-year plan, launched in 1951, aimed at economic recovery post-partition and laying down the infrastructure for future industrialization. Pakistan's challenges were distinct but equally daunting. It was a country divided into two geographically and culturally distinct parts, West Pakistan and East Pakistan, later Bangladesh. The industrial sector was nascent and largely located in West Pakistan, while East Pakistan was more agrarian. The partition had severed economic links, and the new country struggled with a lack of infrastructure and capital. Additionally, there was a significant loss of skilled labor, particularly in West Pakistan, as many Hindu and Sikh professionals migrated to India. Like India, Pakistan faced the enormous task of integrating millions of Muslim refugees from India. These refugees faced competition from local populations for jobs, resources, and social services. In East Pakistan, linguistic and cultural differences from the Urdu-speaking migrants from India fueled regional tensions. Moreover, the division of assets and resources between India and Pakistan was a contentious issue that impacted social welfare programs. Pakistan's government, led by Liaquat Ali Khan and later others, initially focused on establishing a functional administrative framework and addressing immediate refugee needs. Economic policies aimed at agricultural development and industrialization were introduced, but progress was hampered by political instability and regional disparities. The government also had to build new administrative capitals, as major cities like Lahore and Karachi were overwhelmed with refugees. Both nations faced the monumental task of rebuilding economies disrupted by partition, integrating refugees, and addressing widespread poverty and illiteracy. Additionally, the partition had disrupted agricultural patterns and trade routes, leading to food shortages and economic dislocation. Infrastructure development became a priority for both countries, with efforts to build roads, railways, and communication networks to support economic growth and integrate diverse regions. However, these efforts were constrained by limited financial resources, the need for skilled labor, and political challenges. In the years following partition, both India and Pakistan grappled with significant socioeconomic challenges. While the contexts and specifics of their struggles differed, both nations endeavored to lay the foundations for economic development and social integration in the face of overwhelming adversity. The legacy of these early efforts has had a lasting impact on the subcontinent's economic and social trajectories. Early diplomatic engagements and conflicts. In the aftermath of the 1947 partition, India and Pakistan embarked on their separate paths as sovereign states. However, their early years were marked by a series of diplomatic engagements and conflicts, shaped largely by the legacy of partition, territorial disputes, and differing national interests. Here's a detailed look at these early interactions. Following their independence, both India and Pakistan sought and gained recognition as sovereign states by the international community. They became members of the United Nations in 1947. This membership was a crucial step in establishing their status on the global stage and was instrumental in their subsequent diplomatic engagements. Despite their independence from British colonial rule, both India and Pakistan chose to remain part of the Commonwealth of Nations. This decision was driven by various factors, including economic interests, geopolitical considerations, and the desire to maintain an international standing. Membership in the Commonwealth facilitated diplomatic relations with other member countries and helped maintain a dialogue with Britain. The most significant early conflict between India and Pakistan centered around the princely state of Jammu and Kashmir. The Maharaja's accession to India led to the First Indo-Pakistani War, 1947-1948. The conflict ended with a UN-mediated ceasefire and the establishment of the line of control, dividing Kashmir into areas administered by Pakistan, Azad Kashmir and Gilgit-Baltistan, and India, Jammu and Kashmir. However, the issue remained unresolved and became a perennial source of tension. The partition divided the Indus River system, which was the lifeline for both countries' agrarian economies. Initially, there was a standstill agreement, but tensions escalated with the termination of the agreement by Pakistan. These water disputes prompted diplomatic and political engagements, eventually leading to the signing of the Indus Water Treaty in 1960 with the World Bank's mediation. This treaty allocated the waters of the Indus River system between the two countries, establishing a framework for cooperation and conflict resolution. The massive population exchanges following partition brought about numerous diplomatic challenges, including the protection of minority rights, property claims, and the division of assets between the two countries. These issues were sources of friction and required continuous diplomatic negotiations. The division of military assets and financial resources were particularly contentious, leading to several rounds of talks and agreements. Despite the conflicts, there were attempts to establish diplomatic norms and procedures. High-level meetings and negotiations were held to address bilateral issues. For instance, the Liaquat-Nehru Pact of 1950 aimed to secure minority rights and prevent communal violence across the borders. These early diplomatic engagements set the tone for the complex relationship that would continue to evolve between the two nations. In the context of the Cold War, both countries sought international alliances to support their political and economic objectives. Pakistan joined military pacts like CETO, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, and CENTO, Central Treaty Organization, aligning more closely with the United States and its allies. India, under Nehru's leadership, championed the non-aligned movement, positioning itself as a leader among newly independent countries and maintaining a more neutral stance in the Cold War. The early diplomatic engagements and conflicts between India and Pakistan were influenced by their shared history, the circumstances of their independence, and the geopolitical realities of the time. These interactions were marked by a blend of cooperation and conflict, setting the stage for the complex dynamics that would characterize the Indo-Pakistani relationship in the decades to follow. The legacy of these early years continues to influence the bilateral relations between the two nations. The division of assets and military between the two countries, the division of assets and the military between India and Pakistan following their independence in 1947 was a complex and contentious process, fraught with legal, logistical, and political challenges. This division was essential due to the partition of British India, which led to the creation of two distinct sovereign states with their own needs and security concerns. The division of assets between India and Pakistan was governed by the Partition Council, which included representatives from both nations and was chaired by the British Governor General. The council was tasked with dividing over $1 billion worth of assets, which included government funds, operational assets, and administrative resources. It was agreed that the Reserve Bank of India would continue as a common central bank until March 1948. Pakistan was allocated a share of $30 million from the cash balance of British India. The division of gold and silver reserves was particularly contentious, but was eventually resolved based on the proportionate division agreed upon by both parties. The public debt of British India was divided between the two countries based on the population ratio and the revenue generated in each region. However, disagreements arose over specific allocations and valuations, leading to protracted negotiations. This included the division of assets like administrative buildings, vehicles, and office equipment. The military assets, such as arms, ammunition, and other equipment, were divided based on a ratio agreed upon by both countries, though this process was marred by mutual suspicion and logistical difficulties. The division of the British Indian Army was one of the most critical and sensitive aspects of the partition. The army was the largest and most organized institution in British India, and its division was vital for the security of the newly independent states. The Indian Army was divided based on religious and ethnic lines, with Muslim personnel predominantly opting for Pakistan and non-Muslims for India. However, many individuals faced personal dilemmas due to mixed family backgrounds or personal affiliations. The division aimed to maintain the operational integrity of existing units as much as possible. However, some regiments with mixed compositions were disbanded or restructured. The allocation of combat units, support services, and administrative staff was a logistical challenge. The Division of Military Hardware, including weapons, vehicles, and communication equipment, followed the agreed-upon ratios. However, the actual process was complicated by the need to maintain operational capabilities, logistical challenges in transferring equipment, and disputes over the valuation and condition of assets. The Royal Indian Navy and the Royal Indian Air Force were also divided, though these branches were smaller and less developed than the Army. The division included ships, aircraft, and support infrastructure, with considerations for geographical needs and security requirements. The division of assets and the military was marked by disagreements, delays, and mutual distrust. The hurried nature of the partition and the lack of clear guidelines compounded these difficulties. The division did not proceed smoothly and led to several disputes, some of which persisted for years. The immediate aftermath saw shortages and operational challenges in both countries, impacting their defense capabilities and administrative functions. However, over time, both India and Pakistan established their own military and economic infrastructures. The division of assets and the military between India and Pakistan was a monumental task completed under pressing time constraints and amidst considerable turmoil. While it laid the foundational stones for the two nations' paths, it also set the stage for ongoing disputes and complexities in their bilateral relations. The process was a mix of negotiated compromise, administrative efforts, and inevitably, moments of conflict and discord. The Indus Water Treaty negotiations and outcomes. The Indus Water Treaty is a water-sharing agreement between India and Pakistan, brokered by the World Bank and signed on September 19, 1960. The treaty was a result of protracted negotiations to resolve disputes regarding the use of the Indus River and its tributaries, which are vital for the agricultural economies of both countries. Here's a detailed look at the negotiations and outcomes of the Indus Water Treaty. The Indus River system comprises the Indus and its five major tributaries, the Jhelum, Chenab, Ravi, Bees, and Sutlej. The basin of these rivers spans parts of India and Pakistan, making water distribution a critical issue post-partition. Initially, there was a standstill agreement, but tensions escalated as it expired, leading to urgent needs for a lasting solution. The negotiations for the treaty were complex and took several years. They were initiated in the early 1950s under the auspices of the World Bank, which played a neutral role to facilitate the discussions. The primary challenge was to create a framework that would be equitable and sustainable considering the agricultural and water needs of both countries. The main points of contention included water distribution, construction of dams and storage facilities, and mechanisms for conflict resolution. Both countries had significant agricultural areas dependent on the waters from the Indus River system, and any agreement had to ensure economic and water security for both nations. The treaty allocated the water from the three western rivers, Indus, Jhelum, and Chenab, predominantly to Pakistan, while the waters from the three eastern rivers, Ravi, Beas, and Sutlej, were allocated to India. Importantly, India was allowed to use the western rivers for non-consumptive needs such as irrigation, transport, and power generation under certain conditions. The treaty also allowed for the construction of dams, storage, and other infrastructure projects. For instance, Pakistan constructed the Tarbela Dam on the Indus and the Mangla Dam on the Jhelum, while India constructed the Bakra Dam on the Sutlej. To facilitate a smooth transition, the treaty included provisions for financial compensation and technical assistance. India agreed to provide financial assistance to Pakistan for the construction of canals and storage facilities to divert water from the western rivers. The treaty established the Permanent Indus Commission, comprised of commissioners from both countries, tasked with implementing and managing the treaty's framework. The commission serves as a forum for regular consultations and conflict resolution.
The treaty provides a detailed mechanism for dispute resolution, starting from the Permanent Indus Commission up to arbitration by an international panel, if necessary. This framework has been critical in addressing subsequent disputes between the two countries regarding the treaty's implementation.
The Indus Water Treaty has been considered a model of international cooperation, especially in a region marked by recurrent conflicts. Despite the wars and hostilities between India and Pakistan since 1960, the treaty has remained in force, underlining its strength and the commitment of both nations to its terms. The treaty has allowed for significant agricultural and economic development in both countries, supported by the waters of the Indus River system. However, challenges remain, including disputes over specific projects and the impacts of climate change on water resources. Nonetheless, the Indus Water Treaty stands as a testament to the possibility of negotiated agreements in even the most challenging political and environmental circumstances. Formation of constitutional frameworks in both countries. The formation of constitutional frameworks in India and Pakistan was a critical step in defining the political, legal, and social structures of the newly independent states. Here's a detailed overview of how these frameworks were developed in both countries. After gaining independence in 1947, India set about drafting a constitution to serve as the country's supreme legal document. A constituent assembly was formed, which included representatives from various regions, communities, and political backgrounds. Dr. B.R. Ambedkar was appointed as the chairman of the drafting committee. The Indian constitution was adopted on 26 November 1949 and came into effect on 26 January 1950. It established India as a sovereign, socialist, secular, and democratic republic. The constitution laid out a federal structure dividing powers between the central government and the states, provided for a parliamentary system of government, and detailed a comprehensive list of fundamental rights guaranteed to citizens. The Constitution of India incorporated the directive principles of state policy, aimed at guiding the state in promoting the welfare of the people and establishing a just society. It also set forth procedures for amending the Constitution, allowing for flexibility and adaptability to changing conditions. The Indian Constitution was noted for its inclusiveness and commitment to social justice, including provisions for the protection and advancement of socially and economically disadvantaged groups. However, the process of implementing and upholding the constitutional provisions, particularly regarding social equity and federal relations, has been an ongoing challenge. Pakistan initially lacked a formal constitution and was governed by the Modified Government of India Act 1935. The country faced considerable challenges due to political instability, regional disparities, and the need to integrate various legal systems and cultural norms. After several years of debate and political struggle, Pakistan adopted its first constitution in 1956, which declared the country an Islamic republic. This constitution established a federal structure with a parliamentary form of government, similar in many ways to the British model. It also included provisions for fundamental rights and outlined the role of Islam in the state. The 1956 constitution was short-lived, and Pakistan experienced significant political upheaval, including military coups and periods of martial law. The country adopted new constitutions in 1962 and again in 1973. The 1973 constitution, which is still in effect today, reaffirmed Pakistan as an Islamic republic and established a federal system with a bicameral legislature. It also defined the rights of citizens and the distribution of powers between the central government and the provinces. The constitutional history of Pakistan has been marked by periods of authoritarian rule, with the 1973 constitution being suspended and amended multiple times. Issues such as civil-military relations, provincial autonomy, and the role of Islam in governance have been sources of contention and debate. The formation of constitutional frameworks in India and Pakistan was a foundational step in their development as independent states. While both countries adopted democratic principles and federal structures, their political evolutions have been distinct, shaped by different challenges and historical contexts. The constitutions of India and Pakistan continue to be central to their political identities and governance, embodying the aspirations, values, and complexities of their respective societies. The impact of partition on minority communities in both countries. The partition of British India in 1947 into two separate nations, India and Pakistan, had profound and lasting impacts on minority communities in both countries. The drawing of new national boundaries was supposed to create a predominantly Hindu India and a predominantly Muslim Pakistan, but the reality was far more complex and led to significant demographic shifts, social upheaval, and communal violence. Following partition, there was an exodus of Muslims from India to Pakistan. Despite the mass migration, a significant Muslim population remained in India, constituting about 9.8% of its total population by the early years following partition. These communities often faced suspicion and hostility in the wake of partition-related violence. Many Muslims who stayed in India experienced displacement and loss of property. There were also instances of social boycotts and economic hardships as communities that had lived together for centuries were suddenly divided by suspicion and fear. In the aftermath of partition, Muslims in India often found themselves marginalized politically and culturally. Despite constitutional safeguards, there were instances where minority rights were overshadowed by majority interests. The Indian government, under leaders like Jawaharlal Nehru, worked towards secular principles and inclusion, emphasizing unity and diversity. The Indian Constitution, adopted in 1950, provided for equal rights to all citizens and special protections for religious and cultural minorities. Conversely, in Pakistan, there was a significant migration of Hindus and Sikhs to India. However, a sizable Hindu population remained in areas like Sindh. These minorities faced communal violence during and after partition, leading to loss of life and property. Minority communities in Pakistan often face challenges in accessing jobs, education, and political representation. There were reports of forced conversions and discrimination in various sectors of society. While Pakistan initially aimed to be a pluralistic state, over time, it moved towards a more Islamic identity, which affected the legal and social status of minority communities. Laws and policies were increasingly interpreted or implemented in ways that disadvantaged minorities. The demographic profile of Pakistan saw significant changes, with non-Muslim populations decreasing markedly over the decades following partition due to migration, lower birth rates, and other factors. In both India and Pakistan, partition left minority communities grappling with issues of identity, integration, and citizenship. The trauma of displacement and the legacy of partition violence have had long-term psychological and social effects. While both countries have legal and constitutional provisions to protect minority rights, the implementation and enforcement of these protections have varied and faced challenges. Over the years, there have been waves of migration due to religious persecution, economic hardships, or political reasons, further affecting the demographic compositions and social dynamics in both countries. Both India and Pakistan have faced challenges in ensuring the cultural preservation and rights of minority communities. Issues such as language rights, religious freedoms, and educational opportunities continue to be areas of concern. The impact of partition on minority communities in India and Pakistan has been profound and multifaceted, affecting social, economic, and political aspects of life. While there have been efforts to address and mitigate these impacts, challenges remain, underlining the ongoing legacy of partition in the subcontinent's minority communities. In conclusion, the partition of India and Pakistan in 1947 led to significant political, social, and economic transformations. While it established independent nations, it also sparked mass migrations, humanitarian crises, and enduring conflicts. The impact on minority communities was profound, affecting their security, culture, and demographics. As we transition to the next part of our series, we'll explore the era of wars and conflicts, 1960s, 1970s, delving into the challenges and changes that continued to shape both nations. Thank you for tuning into our analysis. Remember to give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and ring the notification bell to stay updated with our latest intriguing content. Take care and see you next time.